Thank you so, 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 so much for that welcome. That's so kind and so embarrassing. just to clarify, with this whole studying thing, I think I'm getting a bit obsessed with studying. I love learning. I hate essays. So you can find some way of getting me some qualifications without writing the essays. That would be great. But it's the third year of a degree that I've been doing, not the full degree, because I'm studying at it's very, very good institution, and they won't let you do the master's unless you've done the third year of the degree first, if you have a degree in something else. So long story, but just thought I'd clarify that. It's such a privilege to be with you and to see all your glorious faces. I am from Llanelar, originally, a bit more about that in a second, but I feel like I have three homes. So I live in Pontypridd, whoop, fabulous gateway to the valleys. I lived in North Wales for 24 years, so sometimes my accent betrays my Aberystwyth beginnings. Part of Caer Salem, which is where you were yesterday, absolutely adore them too. Oh. And then, but Aberystwyth was my home. This is where my parents still live. And so, yeah, I'm privileged to have three homes. I am going to preach from Luke 4 this morning. Hello, Elaine, to you at the back. It's lovely to see you. Yes, Luke 4 and then 16 to 30. But I want to tell you something about my upbringing before we kick in, because I think it's critical for you as a family this morning. I grew up in Llanelar, which is 6 miles away. If you've ever been through there, it's probably the center of the universe, but we can discuss that afterwards. Growing up in the 80s, although I was born in the 70s, there was nothing going on there, so we made our own fun. There was an excellent, outstanding school, still is. There was a pub, I think that's closed down now, a church and a chapel, and it was just an exceptionally happy childhood. But can you imagine, aged 8, when all of a sudden our village decided to open a youth group? A youth group! A youth group. Other villages didn't have a youth group. Llanelar had a youth group. And once a month, Mr. Jones, because we don't use Christian names, we're very respectful in Llanelar, Mr. Jones would take us out of the village to the sprawling metropolis of Aberystwyth. Yeah. This is big news in my world. I'm kidding you not. One time, he actually booked us a double decker coach. I'd never seen one of those outside of London. This is big news. Not just that, we were going to Aberystwyth in the dark of night to Plascrig swimming pool. I mean, this is living now. And we had a good splash around. We could all swim. We'd all been brought up swimming. And what I didn't realise is that after swimming, plans had been made for us to go to the chippy. And so the double-decker... Oh, I'd forgotten about the click again, souls. The double-decker bus parked somehow outside the old Ysgol Gymraeg. And we all trooped out of the bus and lined up outside the chip shop to get chips. Although I've actually told you a mistruth there. Everybody except me piled out because I didn't have any money. I was 8. I didn't carry a card or cash. Now, it was all right. I mean, look at the state of me. I was fed as a child, so don't worry. It's not that I wasn't fed, but I felt really silly because I'd obviously missed part of the communication saying, we're going swimming, we're going for chips, then we're going home on the double-decker bus. Imagine what it was like for all those kids to come back on the bus with those steaming hot chips and sit there with nothing. Thanks, Joel. They're really not compassionate. You've got to work on the pastoral side, honestly. There was no R's. But imagine my astonishment when Mr. Jones came on the bus with a large pack of salted and vinegared chips and gave it to me. That's a youth worker for you. But friend, I want to tell you this morning, that if you feel left behind or forgotten or unseen, that actually there is a Lord in heaven who sees you, who sees you, who knows your circumstances, and he is working on your behalf. You are not forgotten. You are not forgotten. He sees. That's one of his names, he sees. So he sees you this morning. Let's scooch on to Luke chapter 4. You haven't come to hear about my life. You've come to hear about Jesus. Verse 16 of Luke 4. He, that is Jesus, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. So let's just pause there and get some context to what we're reading. Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth. Yes, I know at Christmas we sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." That was where he was born, and that's because his parents had to take part in a census. But Jesus' hometown was Nazareth, and he was there. He had been down towards the River Jordan, where, of course, his cousin, John the Baptist, had baptized him. But now he's left the Jordan, and he's been led by the Spirit, not the devil. He's been led by the Spirit into the wilderness where, yes, the enemy has tempted him. How has he responded to every temptation? With the word of God. And the devil, of course, had to flee. So by the time we pick up the account in verse 14, Jesus has returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him is spreading. And like every good Jew, Jesus has headed to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And there he is handed a scroll. And I can just see in my mind's eye Jesus unrolling the scroll and using his finger to move along the words, perhaps. And then he hits on this words and he's like, "Right, that's where I'm going to read from." And he takes up the words that we now recognize as Isaiah chapter 61. Here it is, 61 verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, if you're familiar with Isaiah 61, you'll know at this point that Jesus stops mid-sentence. He doesn't go on to talk about the day of vengeance of our God, etc., etc., etc. And I wonder this morning, have you ever wondered why? Why does Jesus stop right slap bang in the middle of the sentence? I believe that Jesus does that because the day of vengeance of our God, that's not going to happen until his second coming. Friends, we are living at the moment in a season of unmerited grace, where there is still opportunity to meet and choose Jesus. But actually, when Jesus comes again the second time round, it will be too late. And so I'm coming here this morning as very un-Welsh, very un-Llanelad lady, and saying to you this morning, will you choose Jesus? Will you choose Jesus? We've sung, "I depend on you. I depend on you." If you've chosen Jesus, have you made him Lord of every aspect of your life? Have you chosen Jesus for your finance, for your family, for your friends, for your workplace? That's my first unashamed encouragement today, is choose Jesus. And do you know what? We are living in a time of unprecedented openness. You may have heard of the Quiet Revival Bible Society's recent survey. 56% more people are attending services on a Sunday than in 2018. 34% more 18 to 24-year-olds are coming to church. They are now the second most in attendance group. I'm sorry, I'm second language English, so I'm translating. They're more likely than any other age group, apart from the over 65s, to attend church. I mean, big up the over 65s, the faithfuls, golly olly. But then the 18 to 24s, they're fast on your heels. We're living in a season of unmerited grace. And I ask you today, have you chosen Jesus? Have you made him Lord over everything? Back in October, I had a call from a friend that I've been friends with since I was a child, and she was 66, and she phoned me from the Heath Hospital in Cardiff and said, oh, I'm in hospital. Could you pop down? And I said, well, sure, yeah, I'm 20 minutes away. I'll come and see you. And I got there, and she took me by the hand, and she looked me straight in the eyes. She said, I've had a terminal diagnosis. She said, you're my only spiritual friend. Will you help me to finish this life well? I just got to say at this point, every time I tell this story, she didn't ask me to help her finish her life. We don't preach that. That is wrong. But, yeah, just in case anybody phones Joel this afternoon, what was she preaching? No, she was asking, you know, would you help me to finish spiritually well? I said, sure. Although, I'm not going to lie to you, it was a bit daunting thinking, wow, that's pressure. I said to her, well, you've got a laptop. Would you like to do the Alpha course? I'll send you the link for the first episode, and then we can maybe chat about it online, or I'll come and see you every few days. She watched it, and she said, it's not really for me. I'm Church of England. Which is kind of bizarre, because Alpha is Church of England, but she didn't like it. That's okay. I learned a massive lesson from that. Stop forcing your ideas onto someone and actually ask them. So I said to her, what do you want to do? She said, I can recite 3/4 of the Book of Common Prayer off by heart. And she really, really could. I said, friend, we're going to start there. How about we go through the Nicene Creed? If you don't know what that is, that's a collection of declarations as to who Father is, who Son is, who Spirit is, and about the work of the kingdom, essentially. And we spent months in person and online and Facebook Messenger and all sorts going through the truths. And then in the new year, she got in touch and she said, I'm really low to the point of despair. And I'm really poorly. And something rose up inside of me, and I said, well, then I have to ask you, where do you stand with Jesus? Have you made your peace with Jesus? She said to me, I want you to know that every word of that creed rings true. It's not just that Jesus is the Lord, he is my Lord. The very next morning, Jesus took her. And I believe that she is safe in eternity with him because she'd made Jesus her Lord. Is that the case for you this morning? Because my first point leads to my second point, and it will make so much more sense if you've chosen Jesus to be your Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus says, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is also on you and me, so that we might go and do the same. So friend, when did you and I last take up that anointing? It is an anointing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Time is short. Jesus is coming back for a second time. We are still in this period of grace, but that period of grace will not last forever. And so it's imperative, critical, that we preach the good news of Jesus Christ to the poor, to the rich, to whoever will listen. We don't know the day or the hour of his return, but when you see tsunamis and earthquakes and cyclones and all manner of nations rising up against nation, you can bet your bottom dollar that we haven't got millennia to get this work done. This is really urgent. Have you chosen Jesus? Will you share him with others? Please don't be harsh or layer on condemnation on people. This is good news. This isn't guilt news. It's good news. And it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. When we're sharing Jesus, sometimes the old methods just don't do it, do they? Sometimes we have to be a bit creative about the way that we share. And I've made a really great friend in my hairdresser. She's utterly fabulous. She's in her 20s. She comes from Ukraine. She's come over because of what's going on over there. And we've just hit it off. We've just become friends somehow. I'm not naturally one of those people who sits in the chair and tells people about Jesus, but I knew there was going to come a point where she was going to say, so what do you do? What do you do for a living? And Joel, you'll have found this. When you tell people you're a pastor, does it just kill the conversation? Yeah. When I say, and sometimes even to Christians, I'm not going to lie, I'm the head of the Bible Society in Wales. It's like, see you later. And I just knew I would lose her. And I'd had a conversation with a friend who's a pastor up in Derby. And he said, oh, Sian, for goodness sake, don't tell them you're a Bible Society worker. That's going to kill it. He said, I never say that anymore. I tell them I'm a spiritual coach. I thought, hang on a minute. Right, do I train people to... Oh, actually, I'm a spiritual coach. So the time came, Jana asked me, so what is it you do for a living? I said, Jana, I'm a spiritual coach. And she was like, what? That's amazing. And I thought, golly, Ollie, I've never had that response before. And she said, who do you promote? And I did have to like... I promote Jesus. And she said, well, is that the same Jesus that they talk about in church? And I was like, maybe, sometimes. I said, let me tell you about the Jesus that I promote. And it's just been such a joy to be able to share who I really am and who I really love. The gospel will never change. Methods often need to. Back to Luke. We've just scratched the surface, really, but I want to go a bit deeper. Are you up for going deeper? You're not babies in the Lord. We're going to put some meat and some bones on this. We've read the passage. It's talking about the year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. And that actually harks back to Leviticus 25, where we read, first of all, about the year of Sabbath. That's where every 7 years they would give the land a rest so that the land could breathe almost and be filled with nutrients again before they planted anything. But then later on in Leviticus 25, it talks about the year of Jubilee. And that's counted depending on how you count it, right? Either every 49 or 50 years. It literally depends how you count it. But what would happen every 50 years is that debt slaves would be released and allowed to return to their family and to their land. So, for example, if a Jew got into debt, he or she would become a slave. But on the Jubilee year, each of the slaves would be set free and allowed to return. Any debt that had been incurred over those 50 years, washed clean. Anybody here got a mortgage? Come on. Anybody here got a loan on a car? Anybody here ever overspent on the credit card? Gone. Can you imagine that sense of freedom where everything is wiped clean? In Isaiah, he prophesies a jubilee that will come at the end of time where God himself will redeem his people and cancel their debts. We have in Isaiah 61 a proclamation of liberty where an anointed one is prophesied, a Messiah who will come and he will proclaim his liberty to the captives. And so in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads this from the scroll, and then he stops mid-sentence and he sits down. And in our 21st century brains, we would think, oh, game over, he's done. But actually, that was the exact posture of a rabbi who was about to teach. And Jesus tells them, verse 21, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Imagine that. All of their hopes and dreams accumulated over centuries, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And he's standing right in front of them. This is the year of Jubilee, the eternal Jubilee, where not only captives will be released, but humankind will be released from sin and the power of the king of this world. And you know what? If you read earlier on in Luke, actually Jesus has already been in Capernaum setting free the people from demons. This wasn't just a release from financial debt. It was a release from slavery, a release from sin and Satan. Jesus then goes on and he gives his power to his disciples, doesn't he? In Mark 3, verse 15. And then in Matthew 18, verse 1, he gives it to us. And we now have the authority as the body of Christ walking on earth to bring people to him, to bring them under revelation, to cast out demons, and yes, they do exist, to bring them into the liberty of a new life under Christ. This is my second and my final point. Is there anybody here today who carries a chain-shattering spirit? Is there any one of you who will set captives free in the name of Jesus? That is your gift from Christ. That is your anointing. So how many of you carry a chain-shattering spirit? Is there anyone who will proclaim release from sin to the captives? When did we last utilize that spiritual authority to see someone set free from addiction, from strongholds, from lifestyle choices and patterns of behavior that are just not kingdom? Where are the chain shatterers? People asked in verse 22, isn't this Joseph's son? And the answer is no. He wasn't Joseph's son at all. Jesus is the Son of God, fully human, fully divine, begotten, not created. Yes, of course, Joseph raised Jesus with his wife, Mary, but Jesus is no ordinary man. You see, we can't reduce Jesus to just being ordinary, because no ordinary man could ever die for our sins, be raised from the grave, and save us. Are you a Pentecostal church, by the way? Have a word, Joel. No, I'm kidding. We can't reduce Jesus to just being a man. He is the Son of God. And Scripture tells us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That goes for the poor, the rich, the vulnerable, the sorted, the weak, the forgotten, the isolated, those whom society has rejected, those whom society favors. It goes for the wealthy, the ones who have it all, who appear to have everything but have nothing until they know Jesus. Let me finish with just one more story. I've probably gone way over time. Spoke more quickly in this one. Let me tell you the story of Ross. In my job, lots and lots of traveling. I can't stand the A470, honestly. It does my head in. But a few years back, we were at the ICC, which is like a big conference space in Newport. And it sounds great that we get to go to conferences and stuff. And it is. It's a massive privilege. But it can be exhausting as well, because you have to get there before all of the delegates, set up your stall. If you're speaking, you've got to leave your stall and go and speak. But, you know, every break that is had where people go and get food, you're on duty because people want to talk about your resource and stuff. Privilege, don't get me wrong. But you live off sandwiches. Sandwich City. Oh, golly. And after 4 days of this conference, it was the New Testament Church of God conference. It was great. I mean, if you think you're Pentecostal, yabba dabba do. I loved it times a billion. Anyway, we hadn't seen a vegetable in 4 days. And our boss said, come on, we're going to go into Newport and get a proper meal in us. Oh, praise the Lord. So we did. We went into town and we all piled into cars, just about to leave the city to go back to the conference centre. And I was at the ticket machine to pay for my parking. And I noticed there was a gentleman sitting on the floor. And he said, hiya, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. He said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. How do you know? He said, well, number one, God told me. And number two, I can see it in your eyes. At this point, I'm listening, right? Like, what's going on here? He said, oh, okay. He said, listen, I don't want your money. Someone's already fed me today. Jesus always feeds me, but he also sends me people just to have a chat. I was like, wow. So I went and sat down next to him by the ticket machine, and I said, hiya, my name's Sian. And he said, oh, I'm Ross. I said, buddy, what's your story? I asked him, do you have a home? And he said, no, I live on the streets. And I said, well, that must be scary in Newport. He said, not as scary as you think, because Jesus is always with me. Wow. And I said, well, you said that you've been fed. What's that about? He said, oh, Jesus sends me somebody every day to feed me. And I'm thinking, have we got another manna quail instance going on in Newport? And he said, no, every day God sends me someone who brings me meals. And then he said, but Jesus also sends me company. He sends me people to have a chat with. I said, come on then, let's chat. We had a glorious conversation. The other guys were waiting in the car thinking I'd been abducted. And then we prayed together, and he prayed the most beautiful, anointed prayer I've ever heard. It was like being prayed for by an angel. We had a kutch, and we said goodbye. Who do you think has chosen Jesus? Who do you think carries a chain-shattering spirit? Who do you think really understands who God is? Is it the head of Bible Society in Wales, or is it Ross? I can tell you, it's not me. Who has truly understood? Let's pray. Father, if there's somebody in this room who has not yet chosen you, Jesus, or is putting you on the fence or keeping you for a later date, Father, today, by your Spirit, would you challenge them to choose you, Lord? Father, I thank you that your offer of salvation is here for everyone, okay? Not everyone will choose you, but you have offered us eternal life. But Father, I pray for each one of us that increasingly we would make you Lord over every aspect of our living, breathing, working, relationships, finances, whatever it is, Father. Teach us to be like Ross, but more importantly, teach us to be like Jesus. We pray that you'd use us increasingly to carry that chain-shattering spirit, where captives truly do come to liberty. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. On this Pentecost Sunday, would you enable us, Lord God, to be bolder than we've ever been, more wise than we've ever been, but more bold than we've ever been. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.